What if I told you the reason you don't float away from your chair right now has absolutely nothing to do with gravity acting as a physical pulling force?
I mean, that is a pretty massive claim to just drop right at the start.
Right, but what if it's purely because of a tiny geometric fraction? Or what if I said the reason your body has mass isn't because of physical weight, but because of this invisible, multidimensional knot wrapped precisely 1,836 times around the core of your atoms?
It completely shatters how we usually think about reality. Because, we are so conditioned to view physics as this, well, this messy, chaotic recipe book.
Yeah,
A dash of gravity here, a very specific, arbitrary pinch of electromagnetism there.
Right. And when you ask a physicist why an electron has the exact charge it does, or why the fine structure constant is precisely what it is, the answer usually just boils down to, well, we measured it, and that's just what it is. You're
Yeah.
just supposed to accept these clunky, brute force physical realities.
Historically, yes. I mean, they're treated as fundamental facts of nature. You can't derive them mathematically. You just observe them with incredibly expensive instruments and, well, accept the output.
But the stack of notes we are looking at today completely throws that messy recipe book out the window. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are exploring this fascinating framework called conditional collapse theory, or CCT for short.
And it is a fascinating one.
It really is. It suggests the universe isn't made of arbitrary ingredients at all. Instead, the physical world is pure, elegant geometry. Our mission today is to distill this document we have, which proposes 20 new geometric constants that literally replace our physical rules.
It is the definition of a paradigm shift, because CCT treats physical constants as dimensionless geometric invariants.
Wait, dimensionless?
Yeah, meaning they aren't tied to human measurements like meters or kilograms or, seconds. They are pure universal numbers arising solely from angles, curvatures, and winding numbers in space-time.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we get into the heavy hitters of these 20 constants, we really need a benchmark for you listening to understand what a pure geometric number actually is. And I think the best analogy is a number we all learned in grade school, which is pi.
Oh, pi is the perfect mental model for this. Because think about what makes pi so incredibly powerful. It is just the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you are looking at a tiny circle drawn in the sand, the massive orbit of a planet, or, I don't know, a circle simulated on a microchip. Pi is exactly the same everywhere because it is universal geometry.
So if pi is this beautiful, dimensionless number that humanity can just sit down and calculate indefinitely, CCT is basically stepping up to the chalkboard and asking, where is the pi of gravity? Or where is the pi of quantum
What's
mechanics?
fascinating here is that these 20 new constants share those exact same properties as pi.
Really? All 20 of them?
Yes, they are dimensionless. They are universally applicable in absolutely any quantum field or topological space. And most importantly, they are iterable.
Meaning we don't have to build a multi-billion-dollar particle collider just to measure them. We can just compute them from mathematical first principles.
Exactly. Continually refining their decimal expansions, just like finding the trillionth digit of pi. You don't need a ruler, you just need pure math.
Wow. Okay, so if everything is just pure math and geometry, then we have to figure out what the actual canvas of reality is painted on, which brings up the very first concept in these notes, which is space and time.
Right, the canvas itself.
Specifically, something called the causal angle, or theta SE. The notes say this angle is exactly 45 degrees, or pi over 4 radians. And I have to call a timeout here.
I thought you might.
Time is an angle. How can causality, like the absolute rule that a cause must happen before an effect, just be a literal quarter-turn tilt on a protractor?
I know it sounds absurd at first, but it perfectly aligns with how physicists map space-time, specifically in Minkowski space.
Okay, how does that work?
Well, if you were listening to this and trying to visualize it, imagine a simple graph. The vertical axis is time, moving forward into the future, and the horizontal axis is physical space. If you plot the speed of light on that graph, it draws a perfect diagonal line right through the middle.
Which gives you a 45-degree angle.
Right. That 45-degree angle is the absolute limit of cause and effect in the universe. It is the maximal tilt a trajectory, what we call a world line, can have.
Because if you tilt any further than 45 degrees.
Your graph line becomes space-like, meaning you would be traveling faster than light, arriving at your destination before you even left. So causality itself isn't a physical barrier. It's a strict geometrical boundary. It's an angle.
Okay, so the speed limit of the universe is an angle. But
Yeah.
what is the actual graph paper made of? Is it smooth or is it like choppy?
This is where CCT gives us an incredibly elegant view of granularity. The framework introduces the Planck area unit. You can visualize this as the smallest possible area quantum. It is literally one single pixel of space-time.
Wait, so reality has a screen resolution. You can't zoom in infinitely.
You cannot. Once you hit that single pixel, that's it. That is the fundamental grain of the canvas.
That is wild.
And to cross that single pixel takes a very specific amount of time, defined here as the Planck phase half turn. Geometrically, it is measured as exactly a pi rotation. It takes exactly half a cycle, one mathematical half turn, to traverse one space-time pixel.
So just moving through the tiniest speck of existence is physically equivalent to completing a 180-degree mathematical turn.
Exactly.
Okay, but that is zooming all the way down to the pixel level. What happens if we pan the camera all the way back out? Does the universe itself have a distinct geometric shape?
It does, and CCT defines it using the De Sitter curvature radius. Instead of dealing with the messy cosmological constant that astrophysicists usually argue about, this constant is just the pure geometric radius of a four-dimensional sphere.
Okay.
And as that sphere expands, we measure it with the Hubble angular speed.
Let me stop you there, because when I think of the expansion of the universe, I picture an explosion. Like, I picture galaxies flying away from each other like shrapnel in a straight line. But an angular speed implies rotation.
Exactly. Geometrically, the universe's expansion isn't a linear explosion. It is a constant angular speed mapping out a logarithmic spiral.
A spiral. So reality is basically expanding like a colossal, infinite Nautilus shell.
A cosmic Nautilus shell, yes. Everything moving outward as it rotates at a fixed mathematical rate.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If the entire universe is this macro spiral made of micropixels, we have to look at the actual ink painted onto that canvas.
Yeah,
the matter.
The particles.
The microshapes, right. Because the notes on the strong nuclear force completely broke my brain. We've always been taught that gluons act as the sticky glue holding the nuclei of atoms together. But the framework calls this the gluon winding index. It's just an integer.
Yes. In the mathematics of quantum chromodynamics, this is known as the Pontryagin index, or the instanton number for the SU3 gauge group.
Okay, stop. Instanton number for the SU3 gauge group is going to make everyone listening immediately turn off this deep dive. Let's translate that. What does it actually mean?
Fair enough. Let's think about topology. Imagine taking a rubber band and wrapping it around a tennis ball.
Okay.
You can wrap it once, twice, three times, but you can't wrap it 2.5 times. It's either fully wrapped around the sphere or it isn't. It must be an integer, a whole number.
Okay, I can picture that perfectly.
The strong force, that sticky glue holding your body together, isn't a physical substance. It is literally just an integer count of how many times a quantum field completely wraps around a four-dimensional sphere.
Okay.
The tighter it is wound, the stronger the confinement.
So if I'm understanding this, it's not that the force is strong like a magnet is strong. It's strong because the geometry is literally tied in an unbreakable knot.
That is a brilliant way to put it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's pure topology. You can't pull it apart because you'd have to mathematically unwind the field.
That makes so much more sense. And it's not just the strong force, right? The particles themselves are defined by pure curvature.
Right.
Like the electron isn't a tiny billiard ball bouncing around. The notes mention the Compton curvature, meaning the electron is defined by the intrinsic curvature of a closed string.
And if you scale up to the entire hydrogen atom, you get the Rydberg curvature. The inverse radius of the hydrogen atom's ground state provides the natural curvature scale for all atomic geometry.
Wow.
Even the concept of a quantum leap, or quantum action, the way energy moves in discrete, tiny steps, is reduced to the quantum phase radian.
Let me guess, a radian is just a step on a geometric dial.
Precisely. One unit of quantum action is simply one radian of rotation in a mathematical space called Hilbert space. You are moving a physical object. You are just clicking the dial one radian forward.
Okay, so we have the pixelated canvas, we have the Nautilus shell universe, and we have particles that are basically just strings and knots. But if everything is just shapes, how do they interact? How do we actually feel things? That brings us to the forces of nature, like electromagnetism, the weak force, and gravity. According to CCT, these forces aren't physical beams of energy. They are missing angles and extra dimensions.
They're essentially geometric deficits. And the best example of this is the fine structure solid angle.
Yes, omega alpha. The fine structure constant is usually this headache-inducing number that physicists obsess over because it governs how light interacts with matter. But this framework defines it as an angular deficit on a sphere.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, imagine a perfectly complete, smooth sphere. In geometry, a full sphere has a solid angle of exactly 4 pi steradians.
Okay.
But the fine structure solid angle reveals that the sphere governing electromagnetism isn't complete. There was a tiny angular deficit of about 0.0916 steradians.
Like someone sliced a tiny razor-thin sliver of pi out of it.
Exactly. And that missing sliver is what we experience as an electromagnetic force.
Wait, how does missing space create a force that feels so counterintuitive? Usually a force is a thing, not a lack of a thing.
Think of it like a structural gradient. When there is a geometric deficit, space-time naturally wants to curve or pull together to compensate for that missing geometry.
Oh, I see.
That pull, that tendency to close the gap, is what you feel as the coupling between light and matter. Compare that to the permittivity steradian, which is exactly 4 pi. That represents the perfectly complete spherical coverage of electric flux from a point charge.
So no missing slices.
Right, no missing slices. Electromagnetism exists because of the tension between perfect spheres and slightly incomplete spheres. Oh, and the permeability loop angle is also perfectly 4 pi.
That is genuinely beautiful. What about the weak force, the one responsible for radioactive decay? Does it have a missing slice, too?
The weak force is governed by the weak mixing angle, which is a fixed 28.7 degree tilt.
Another angle. But a tilt of what?
A tilt between five-dimensional gauge planes. If you imagine two intersecting planes of glass, but in a five-dimensional space, the specific angle at which they intersect, that 28.7 degrees, creates the weak force.
That's crazy to visualize.
And its exact boundary is defined by the weak sphere surface number, which is just the dimensionless surface area of that intersection.
Okay, so electromagnetism is a missing slice of pi, and the weak force is two tilted panes of 5D glass. Let's tackle the big one, gravity.
Ah, yeah.
Gravity is famously the weakest fundamental force. I mean, a tiny fridge magnet can overpower the gravitational pull of the entire planet Earth. Does geometry explain why gravity is so hilariously weak?
It explains it beautifully through the gravitational area ratio. This constant is the ratio of the Planck area, that single fundamental pixel of space-time we talked about, to the square of a classical length scale, like the radius of a proton.
And what does that ratio actually come out to?
It is roughly 10 to the power of negative 40.
So a decimal point, 39 zeros and a 1. That is incomprehensibly tiny. But if gravity is just a ratio of pixels, why does it pull me to the ground? How does a fraction make me fall out of a tree?
Because of the concentration of curvature.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity feels incredibly weak at the particle level because that fundamental space-time pixel is just so unfathomably small compared to the proton. It's like trying to pull a massive ship with a single thread.
Right.
But when you stack trillions and trillions of those protons together to make the Earth, that geometric ratio accumulates. Gravity isn't a mysterious weak pulling beam. It's a pure area fraction.
Wow.
You fall out of the tree because the mass of the Earth radically curves the geometric grid beneath you, and your body's just following the straightest possible mathematical line through that curved grid.
You're just sliding down the geometry.
Exactly.
And speaking of mass, we have to talk about the mass ratio winding number. Earlier, I joked about why a proton is about 1,836 times heavier than an electron. It's 1,836.15, to be precise. It always seemed like just a random output on a cosmic scale.
In CCT, 1836 isn't a weight. It is an exact rational ratio of compactification volume.
Compactification volumes. Again, my friend, you are killing me with the terminology. Help the listener out.
My apologies.
Meh.
Let's go back to our topology knot. Compactification refers to extra hidden dimensions that are curled up incredibly tightly in space. This constant geometrically represents how many times an extra dimension winds around a proton compared to an electron.
So a proton isn't heavier in the sense that it has more physical stuff inside it. It literally has an extra dimension wrapped around it 1,836 times.
Yes. And think about what mass actually is. Mass is inertia. It's resistance to being moved.
Right.
If you try to accelerate an electron, it's easy because it has very little winding. But if you try to accelerate a proton, you have to drag this massive, incredibly dense 1,836-layer topological knot through space-time.
That's incredible.
That geometrical resistance is what you feel is mass. Mass is just a measure of winding.
So what does this all mean for things that aren't objects? Like, I'm looking at the notes on thermodynamics. The framework claims that abstract concepts like temperature are also topological constants.
Oh, this part is brilliant.
We have the thermal circle, radian. Now, I learned that temperature is just atoms jiggling around. The faster they jiggle, the hotter it is. But the framework says 1 radian of Euclidean time is exactly 1 unit of entropy. What on earth is Euclidean time?
It is deeply profound. In quantum mechanics, Euclidean time is a mathematical trick where we treat time not as a straight line moving forward, but as a closed loop, an imaginary circle.
Okay, I'm with you, but why?
Because when you map thermal vibrations, all those jiggling atoms, onto a loop of time, the chaotic movement disappears. It translates into pure static geometry. The circumference of that loop represents the temperature.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So entropy per radian in a thermal loop perfectly defines temperature. Heat isn't just physical movement. Fundamentally, an angle on a loop of time is the true measure of heat.
So you could literally measure temperature with a protractor if you could see in Euclidean time.
Yes. Everything yields to topology. Even electrical charge? Look at the charge winding number. We know electrical charge is quantized.
Yeah.
You can't have half of an electron's charge. It's impossible.
Right.
But why? Because geometrically, charge is the integer count of how many times the electromagnetic field wraps around a compact dimension.
Like the rubber band again, you can't have half a wrap.
Exactly. It's the topological churn number of the gauge field.
Yeah.
It's either wrapped or it isn't.
Mm.
And we see this mirrored macroscopically in superconductivity with the flux quantum turn.
What's that?
This is a topological constant where the wave function of a Cooper pair, which is the pairing of electrons that allows electricity to flow with absolute zero resistance, winds exactly one full turn around a microscopic hole in the material. One flux quantum equals one geometric winding.
Wow. And to cap off the list, we have the Planck proton area ratio.
Yes. The ratio of the Planck area to the proton's reduced Compton area. It defines the dimensionless graininess of space-time relative to the particles living inside it. It's the ultimate resolution of our physical reality, expressed purely as geometry.
Okay, so taking a massive step back, synthesizing all of these 20 constants,
What
is the ultimate real-world takeaway for someone listening to this? The document calls these constants collapsed questions.
Right.
Meaning every time humanity has ever conducted an experiment, we weighed a particle, we smashed atoms together, we stuck a thermometer in a beaker. We were actually unknowingly asking what pure geometric number is hiding inside this physical measurement.
Exactly.
We were observing the physical shadow, but we didn't realize it was being cast by a purely geometric shape.
We've been measuring the symptoms, not the underlying cause.
And for you listening, this totally flips the universe on its head. It goes from being an overwhelming, seemingly random list of brute force physical rules into a clean, unified, beautiful geometric puzzle.
It's all elegant.
And the best part, according to the authors, humans don't even have to do the tedious, mind-numbing math to figure out the rest of the puzzle. Artificial intelligence is perfectly suited for this. AI can do the heavy lifting of finding these minimal geometric definitions.
Oh, for sure.
It can compute the decimal expansions and find the exact rational values, which frees us up to just study the underlying meaning, the same way we've appreciated the elegance of pi for thousands of years.
This raises an important question, though, a really provocative one. Based on the sources' claim that humanity can use this framework to generate entirely new math and physics, if we reach a point in the near future where AI can successfully map every single messy physical reality, every force, every mass, every temperature, into a pure, dimensionless, geometric constant.
Yeah.
Are we approaching a future where the role of the physicist becomes entirely obsolete?
Oh, wow.
Think about it. If the real world of physical matter and forces is proven to be nothing more than an elaborate, self-iterating math equation playing out on a pixelated geometric grid, then we don't need experimental physicists to measure the physical world anymore.
Because it's all math.
We only need pure geometers.
Mm.
The physical laboratory, with its billion-dollar particle colliders, gets replaced entirely by the mathematical chalkboard.
So that incredibly messy, chaotic recipe book we started talking about, it doesn't just get replaced by elegant origami. It turns out the physical ingredients never actually existed in the first place. Reality was just folded paper all along.
Just shapes, angles, and numbers.
That is definitely something to think about the next time you drop your keys and watch them fall or check the temperature outside. It isn't physics pulling on you. It's all just geometry.